You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and yes, I'm your host. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, from wherever you're listening, from whatever country you're in, whatever state you're in, both in mind and body. You know, it's very interesting, all the things I've been learning lately. I am amazed. I've prayed to the Father and asked Him to reveal and to continue to reveal, and He does just that. It's so amazing, the things that He's revealing, and so amazing to be the one to be able to share it with you. I think it's wonderful. I really do. You know, I could have made it as a musician if I would have sold my soul, but really they wouldn't have taken me anyway, because the subject matter in my songs always had the Father in it. And except for maybe the blues, right? But blues was a learning tool for me. But, you know, whether or not I could have made it as a musician or not, if I had made the big time in that, that wouldn't be as good as what I'm doing now for the Father. I know that sounds strange to you, but I was never in it for anything but the music in the first place, you know? And I learned many skills and how to rehearse and how to accomplish things and have discipline. So it was all for the good, as far as I'm concerned. But it's interesting that those skills gave me the skills I have to be able to do these shows. I learned how to be an audio engineer. I learned, you know, the different kinds of processors and all kinds of things. And then I learned how to do the, you know, audio and to produce audio and to, you know, do post-production audio. So all of it was a thing to gear me up and have me ready for this time in my life, which I had no idea of. So I really do think that what I'm doing today is better than being a rock star in the world. You know, the thing is the Father saved me from something. There's a lot of casualties in rock and roll, and a lot of casualties in all the fortune and fame things. I wasn't in it for fortune and fame. I was in it because I wanted to play music. That's why I learned all the instruments, out of necessity. But being famous, I could be dead now. I could have been a, you know, heavy duty druggie. I could have been, you know, laying on a corner somewhere, or, you know, whatever, or laying in a grave somewhere. I'm sure there'd be some happy people. But anyway, the interesting thing is I really am glad that the Father has called me to do what I do. I really enjoy hearing from my brothers and sisters. I do hear from people in many countries. And it is wonderful to know these brothers and sisters and to have communication with them. I've been thinking about this topic for almost a week, somewhere around that area. And then the Father, last night when I was praying to Him, He revealed another aspect to it that we will go into. This is all about the light of the world. You know, when I was a younger lad, I wasn't committed to the Father like I am now. I was committed, but not, I didn't know what I know now, which changes the dynamic of everything. It changes the dynamic because when you seek the truth will set you free. I was seeking the truth back then, but I was at a different level of the truth. It takes time to season, to be seasoned. like I'm a seasoned musician. It takes time to be a seasoned musician. You don't just start doing something and, you know, it's just crude. But once you become seasoned and you experience, then you're more equipped. So when I was a young lad, you know, and I read these scriptures and so on and so forth, I didn't have the same understanding I do now. And I had some understanding, but not like this. And I remember, you know, the scripture in Matthew that says, ye are the light of the world. That's not the full scripture. We'll go into that. It's, where is it? Right here. Matthew 5:14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill, set on an hill, for those people that keep saying to me, well, there's no N before the H word. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. but, you know, to me, I didn't really understand what that really meant. And I think I'm going to tell you what it means now. There are always people that'll say, well, I knew that. But did you really? I didn't know it, but that doesn't mean you don't know it. I don't know everything. But, you know, there's so many scriptures, like remember the one where it said that unless your righteousness exceeds that, the Pharisees, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven, and except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, you know, for years I had read that scripture, years and years, and I was condemned by it, like I told you. You know, it was like, wow, how's my righteousness ever going to exceed that of the Pharisees, these holy, holy men? I know you're laughing right now, because what it really is telling you is that the Father is your righteousness. And these Pharisees don't have any righteousness. Their righteousness is, they are whitewashed sepulchers in an inside full of dead men's bones. They don't have any righteousness. So of course, if you have Yahweh's righteousness, he is our righteousness, then you will exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. You see? What he was telling you is they're not going to be in the kingdom of heaven. That's what he's telling you. And when I read it for that time, I started laughing. I don't know why, but I laugh when the Father reveals, because of, you know, there was a bondage in that. You know, wow, how am I going to, you know, how can I ever exceed the, you know, in other words, these Pharisees are filthy, dirty Jews. Canaanite Jews, black magic practicing Jews, Jews that hated Christ, Jews that killed Christ, Jews that made the people of Israel sick, blind, dumb, and deaf. They don't have any righteousness. I just think it's so amusing. It really is. I don't know. But anyway, the same goes here for ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Well, let me just say this before I go on with the light. For some reason, this numbers thing, where I'm going to show you in the future all about biblical numbers, I'll just do a show on that to prove to you that the Father has numbers and numbers have meaning in the scriptures. But there's some people out there that are very upset about me talking about these numbers. There's not many, but there's some that are they're trying to discourage me from talking about these numbers for some reason. I think I know why. You see, you can't ignore things you come across, you know. In other words, I've already explained about the numbers thing that It's a code in the world and has everything to do with the world. Numbers have everything to do with computers. 10100000, you know, all that stuff. But the Father, the biblical scriptures have a lot to do with numbers as well. I don't know why people would be so upset about numbers. They want to say that I'm dabbling in numerology, but they don't even know what gematria is, right? And it's like I'm not delving, you know, dabbling in anything. I'm just showing you patterns of the enemy. Why wouldn't you want to know the patterns of the enemy? Why would that bother some people? Now, there's a whole bunch of other people that I know of that love it, absolutely love it. But there's a minority that are trying to discourage me. They're saying things like, oh, people are going to think you're crazy if you talk about these numbers. You know, I just get a kick out of it. You know who I am. You know who I've been. All you have to do is go all the way back through my history of the works that the Father has done through me, and you'll know that I'm the sanest man in the room. Period. Anyway, don't be afraid. I think the devil is afraid of these number things being shown. It because it's an unmasking. See, this. Why am I talking about this numbers thing? I suppose because this light of the world thing, when you are the light, what does that mean that you're the light of the world? Go ahead and think about that for a moment. I'll take a sip of my coffee. What does it mean that you're the light of the world? And what is this light? And what's its purpose? In John 1:9, he says that was the true light, speaking of Yeshua. Yeshua, not Yeshua. Yeshua. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. In other words, you are like a candle. Or you are a reflection. Remember when I talked about how Yahweh is the light? And when you see the reflections on the water in the sea or in the lake or anything like that, it has to do with those reflections don't have a light of their own. Those reflections come from the sun. It's the same way with the Father. He is the light. When we're in the new kingdom, there'll be no need for light because the Father, and of course we are the children of light and we will have that light back. And so there's no need. There'll be no need for darkness or Jews or any of these things or evil or the devil. So he is the true light. And what that should tell you is something you may not have thought of. I just did this about John a while ago. But if there's a true light, there must be false light too, right? There must be an imitation light. There must be a distorted light. There must be a light bringer who is not the true light. You know, at the end of 2010, which was the sequel to 2001, A Space Odyssey, a second sun comes into the sky. Remember I talked about that a long time ago? You know, the morning star, it's a title. Like Christ is a title. So there were two lights in the sky then. Listen, what it means to be the light of the world means that the world is in darkness and it cannot comprehend. And when you seek the truth and the Father's word, which is the truth, and that lives in you, and you speak the truth, and you expose the evil deeds of the world, you are shining a light upon the darkness. That's what it means to be the light of the world. You see, when Christ said, before Abraham was, I am. He's shown the light on the fact of who he was, and the evil Jewish Pharisees picked up stones and were ready to stone him to death. This is how much they love the light. You see, when you're exposing somebody and you shine a light or cast a light upon the darkness, they become angry and they wish to kill you. You see? And that's why the disciples were killed, because they were shining the light, the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. No, not every beast of the field, every man. There's a difference between man and beasts of the field, two-legged beasts of the field. So when you shine, when we shine the light, like I've just written an article in my on my site that shines the light on the darkness. When I began to do this investigation and I shone the light upon the darkness, the Father's the one that revealed it all anyway. Really, he shone the light on it, and I see it, and now I take that light and give it to you. Well, when I was involved in that so-called organization known as EFR, I was a golden boy. I was doing all the work. I was great, this and that, and all this garbage. But once I shone the light, or shined the light on the darkness, I was then called Diablo three times. I was the devil, just like Jesus himself was when he did his miracles. These filthy, dirty Jew Pharisees said he was doing this by the devil, by Beelzebub. So when you shine the light on these, on the evil of the world, they'll call you a devil. The Jews are calling anybody that shines the light on their darkness haters, anti-Jewites, you know, all that stuff. It's because they don't like the light. They're creatures of the darkness, and they hide their deeds in darkness. And once you shine the light on them, they get violent. Some will run. Others will get angry. So ye are the light of the world. And it's important for you to be a light in the world, not to hide your head in the sand. Now, let's just quickly look at some of these scriptures about, listen, John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am, I should just stop right there. He's telling you who he is. Who said I am that I am? Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You see, the Freemason and all these other false religions and, you know, Lucius Trust. Lucius means light, you know, it's the light bringer and all this stuff. It's all a cheap imitation of the Father himself. They all wish they could be him. They all wish they could impart light unto you. And it's a trick of the light. Just another trick of the light. You see, the light can trick you. Not the true light, the false light. It's you've heard of the saying, it's just another trick of the light. So John 3:19 says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come unto the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. John said in 9:5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So John is not Yeshua, he's not the I am, but we have the I am living in us. We have Jesus His word living in us. And that is the light of the world. So once you know what the truth is and you seek the truth in all things, you can't stand around and say, well, I'll just ignore that people are liars. I'll just ignore that people are doing the wrong things. I'll just ignore that they're saying they're living biblically, but they're lying. You can't ignore that. And so once you shine the light on the darkness, you are the enemy of the world. The world pretends it wants to love light and it needs light, but it's not looking for the light of the Father, the true light. It's looking for the distorted light, like the lights in the city that lure people to the city. There is great darkness in the city, but there's all kinds of light. But this isn't the true light. You see what it means to be the light of the world? So, I think that's quite interesting. Now listen to this again, John 12:46. I am not come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. So in other words, once you know what the light is, you have a responsibility to carry the, you see, I hate to use the term carry the torch, carry the candle. See, this is how the devil copies everything the Father does. See, there are seven candles before the throne of Yahweh. And those seven candles are the seven churches. But each one of us, whether you're a star and you're a light, every star is a light. The suns are a light. And so, once you have the light, you have a responsibility to carry that light and to shine it upon the darkness in the world, thus revealing the evil that exists. As we shine the light, as we speak the word of Yahweh, I told you, there are some people that say, I had a fellow write me and he said, do you see anybody that can raise people from the dead today? Do you see anybody that can heal the blind or heal... And I told him, I said, it's a little different this day because we speak the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of Yahweh, right? That's shining a light by speaking the word of Yahweh. You see, truth being spoken brings light to a dark world with people that are in the darkness. And some of those people on hearing the word will begin to see. So their deafness becomes cured. And then they begin to see. And they can, now their blindness begins to depart from them. And once they have sought enough truth and have enough light in them, they begin to speak the truth. And the dumb has been healed. And thus, this zombie that was in the world, the living dead, has been raised from the dead and now walks in the light. Freemasons do the raising of the lion's paw where they bring Hiram Abiff back up out of, you know, after he's been knocked on the head during this ceremony with the church and the mob and the state. This is all imitation. Everything the devil does is a cheap imitation. These agents who are pretending they're pastors are cheap imitations of the real thing. And I mean that sincerely. And maybe you can't see it, you know. You know, when I, speaking about the numbers thing again, just real quick, I know you don't like to hear about it, some of you, but maybe it's just too complicated for you at this point. Maybe, you know, see, my shows, and I'm not, this is the Father. I want you to understand that whatever you learn on my shows, it's glory to the Father. I seek no glory of my own. I don't even know. Oh, the only thing I know what to do with glory is to give it to the Father, and that I wouldn't have it any other way. I don't want glory. I don't want you to look at me and say, oh, this is the most wonderful man in the world. Let me follow him. No, I want you to follow the Father. I don't want you to follow any institutions, any Catholic institutions, Protestant institutions, any kind of institutions. I want you to, and the Father wants you to, most of all, have a relationship, a personal relationship with him. Forget about man's glory. Forget about institutions' glory. Be concerned. This is just good advice. You do what you want, but I'm telling you, be concerned about the Father and his glory. So these shows that have all been done through me, it's his orchestration. Remember, I wasn't a radio show fellow. So who did this? Who did all these shows that are so incredible? And I think they really are incredible. I don't mean to say that, you know, oh, see what I'm doing? I'm so wonderful. No, that's just the opposite of it. I don't need any of that. I'm just a regular man or fellow like you. I'm just blessed because the Father saw things in me, invested in me, so that I could do what I can do, so that I can invest in you. And he invests in you through me by giving you and shining the light on these things in this world. Whether the Father's having me shine light on the scriptures or shining light on the devils or anything, I'm not trying to teach you anything on how to be a devil. I'm trying to educate you so you can navigate your way through to being an overcomer. See, if you know there's landmines out there and you know how they work and you know how they plant them and all the kinds of things, you could be more likely to evade them. See, by shining a light on these landmines, you know to stay clear of them, don't you? You understand? Are you reading between the lines of what I'm saying right now? Listen to this one, John 11:9. I won't say anything about the number. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. Very interesting. I don't even remember ever reading that before. And I know I have. See, as long as you keep your eyes on the Father, he is the light, right? The true light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. As long as you keep your eyes on him, you will not stumble. Right? You do believe in the Father, don't you? You do believe that he really is there. I'm going to tell you, I guarantee it. So if you're a non-believer and you think that when I'm reading you these scriptures, we're talking about religion, we're not talking about religion at all. See, rebellion brings you into the darkness. I told these people, the Father had me tell them that the term anti-Jewishism, you know, I'm not going to even use the term even once. I changed it to anti-Jewishism. I told them that that is a weapon that's being used against our people and that we should change that and destroy that term. They played along for a short period, but have gone into rebellion, and they're going to keep using that term over and over. And I mean, they'll go out. There were three shows in a row, and they used that term probably 100 times, I think. I didn't really listen to the other two shows, but gauging it on what I've experienced in the past, they used the term a lot of times. So they are going to use that term and help these Jews use that term as a weapon against our people. That's rebellion. And that means that you're going into darkness. He shall be driven from light into darkness and chased out of the world. Job 18:18. Of course, I don't give you the context right now of that, but just very interesting. Listen, 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whom the God, little g, of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of Yahweh, hello, should shine unto them. Peter, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father, who is the image of Yahweh. You see, that's what Paul is saying. So who hath blinded the minds of them which believe not? The minds. The God of this world. The light bringer. Maybe this distorted light is so bright, but it's not brighter than the Father. It's just giving off a frequency that blinds the minds of them which believe not. Because if it wasn't for this light, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of Yahweh, should shine unto them. See, the gospel is an important thing. It's the good news of what has taken place. It's a good thing. And so the gospels of this world and the gospels of the Jews, whose father is the little god of this world, he's not a god at all. It's just that they claim he's a god, he's their god. But you see, he's not a real god at all. He's just a plastic god, a cheap imitation. And the gospel of Christ is good news. You see, the news, it's they're trying to put this news to all people that live on the earth, two-legged beasts of the field included, but it's not for them. The good news is whatever we lost, the Adamic race, these scriptures are about the Israelites, the Adamic people, the offspring of Yahweh himself. The good news is we lost everything in the garden. We lost eternal life. We lost the light, Shekinah glory, if you want to call it that. Some people like to try to say that's evil, because the Jews have turned that around and called that a goddess. But that's not the true definition of Shekinah glory. The glory of the Father and him being light, that's the light that we would have on us and will have on us to the full magnitude in the kingdom. Right now, we are the light of the world, but we're just a small reflection compared to what we will be. Because we will have this restored. The scriptures, the whole Testament, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, is a book about the race of Adam, his story. It's not about Chinamen. It's not about Indians from India. It's not about Jews unless it's exposing who the enemy is. It's not their scriptures. They're in here, and we're warned against the fox. You know, in German school books, the fox always represented the Jew. And I told you fox is 666. I won't explain it again. And so it's very important that we shine that light, that you don't hide that light. Right? You don't want to hide it. See, Luke 11:36 said, "If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light." Isn't that funny why I was just talking about candles? See, it says in Isaiah 60:19, "The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give the light unto thee. But Yahweh shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory." You see what I said? In the kingdom we will not need the moon or the sun. We will have bodies full of light then. Full magnitude. John 12:36 says, "While ye have light, believe in the light," the true light, "that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them." Very, very interesting. See, Matthew 5:14, again, where I started. Again, this is a warning. "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid." You see, you can't hide your light. Just like the man with the talents. It's the same principle. You must, once you have the light, you have the responsibility to shine that light. However the Father has you do it, that's up to the Father. But you cannot hide in the corner. In other words, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You can't hide that light once you have it. You can't talk to people and pretend, "I'm embarrassed of Jesus Christ. I'm embarrassed to speak of the word of Yahweh. So I'll just act like the denizens of this world and I won't let them know that I know about the light of the Father. I won't let them know. I'll hide the fact because I'm embarrassed. That I'm embarrassed." Remember what he said? "If you're ashamed of me, I shall be ashamed of you." Just paraphrasing, right? I'm not ashamed of the Father. Everybody and anybody I speak to, I'll mention the Father. One interesting thought is, if you want to be successful with a woman these days, especially with these satanically modified women, you would have to hide that light. Because once you told them you love Jesus Christ or anything to do with the truth or anything, they would go running to the hills. So I was talking about Danger Man yesterday, an episode of Danger Man. And of course, the English are obsessed with every land but their own and every two-legged beast of the field than their own. And in this series, they're always going to all these other countries like Africa and all these crazy places. And so I thought this was interesting. That's why I'm telling you this, to just show you women's propensity. Not all women. We have some good women in the world, but most women these days have this propensity. There was a voodoo ritual being done in a club with dances and drums and all kinds of things. And of course, I didn't really want to even bother watching this episode because I just don't like seeing Negroes. I just don't. But I watched it. And there was an old man and talking, and he said, "I don't like this. I don't like this stuff at all. You know, this is evil," or something to that type of thing. And there were two women there, and they said, oh, no, you've got to like this. This is incredible. This is wonderful. These dances, this is art type of thing. You know, they didn't say exact, but you understand. In other words, the man knew something was wrong with this voodoo crap. But the women, they see nothing wrong with it, and they said, oh, no, this is good. You need to watch this. This is good for you. You need to get buck right up to the devil. Get right up to him. He's good. He's the light of the world. Hey, Adam, look what I found. I want you to share in this devil too. Yeah. No, it's not funny. It's crazy is what it is. And so you can see very clearly that when I talked about the father and the test, that he didn't just, you see, the woman had to be the vehicle to provide the test, to bring Cain into the world. If there was no woman, I suppose the father might have had to do something else. But you see, what woman brings in by saying it is not good for the man to be alone, and bringing the woman in, it brought the test in. It brought all kinds of evil in. The woman just has a propensity to gravitate towards evil and the devil and the things of the devil, the religions of the devil, the wiles of the devil. Now, don't get mad at me, women, because there are some good women out there that stay clear of that. I'm just saying there's a good percentage of the women, and I mean it's super high, that just gravitate towards this. It's almost like the money gravitates towards the Jew. I mean, money just goes to the Jew. It's like there's a magnet, an unseen magnet in money that gravitates itself to the Jew. It's not gravitating itself to me or you. A Jew could take my music. I make very little on my music. I don't even know when the last time somebody bought some of my music, maybe 4 or 5 months ago or something. The Jew could take my music and make millions off of it. I don't know how to do that. Don't you think that's funny? You know what I'm talking about. Money just gravitates to Jews. It's because of the world we're in, and because, you know, when Yeshua was brought on the top of the rooftop there where the devil offered him the kingdoms of the world, if I was there with the devil and he offered me the kingdoms of the world, I would tell him, you can keep them. Keep them. But you see, again, my point about the whole thing, and I mean that too. King for a day is a waste of time. King for a short period, you know, a day can be several years. In other words, the end of it can no good come out of it. Those people that are selling their souls, they have no idea that they've been tricked by a trick of the light. It just isn't worth it. And so, this is what we see. I suppose we should take a little break here. And I think you're going to be amazed at, we'll see. I never know. You know, the Father's going to do some good things here. I just know that. Okay, listen to this before I go. 1 John 4:5. They are of the world. Remember Michael Jackson? We are the world. It's so corny, you know what I mean? I don't want to sing it properly. It's so corny. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Does the world want to hear what I have to speak? No. But say if I had a burger channel on YouTube, it's very possible that the world would love to hear me. Because if you look at these channels that cook, you know, have food and burgers and everything else, heavy duty hits, heavy duty views. But people that speak about things like I do, the world doesn't want to hear it because it loves its darkness. In the Freemasonic movie that I had remastered to the best I could, I mean, it's a real old film, Forces Occult, the Freemason tells this politician that they were trapping into Freemasonry. He says, people want to be lied to. And you know, that is true. Flattery is something, it's a weapon. And some people are, I know women are especially susceptible to flattery. I was speaking with a friend about a movie I had seen, and because this is on the topic, and this fellow would say something to a woman, and this was said several times in the movie, and she would say, you say all the right things. And he said, that's the secret to my success. Think about that. So the secret to success is saying all the right things. Don't speak to the world about the truth. Like I told you, the woman. I've seen women that I was going to date, and I would start to speak to them about the truth and the world and what's going on in the world and the scriptures, and they would run to the hills. See, I didn't say the right things. You understand? So I was not successful with the woman. In order to be successful with the women in this world at this point, in my view, you have to be a good liar. You have to be a flatterer, which is lying in many cases. And you have to say all the right things. You have to never speak the truth. Now, this isn't all women. Don't get upset. I'm talking about generally what's going on in the world with women. I know that there's brothers and even sisters. This works the same way with sisters, speaking the truth to a man. They run. Like when the light is shown on them, they scatter like cockroaches. When you shine the light, they run. Like rats, Jewish rats. You shine the light, they run. Some of them get angry and want to stone you. Everybody must get stoned, right? I know you're laughing. See, this light is not welcome. You are not welcome as a citizen of the kingdom of Yahweh. I don't know if I want to use the word citizen, but you're not welcome in the world. We don't want you to shine the light on our darkness, the world says. As long as you're shining the light on other people's darkness, you can be the hero. But don't shine that light on us. We'll call you the devil. And then we'll say, we love you. And does that mean you love the devil? You call me Diablos 3 times and then say you love me? You love the devil? Is that what you're saying? Not you. You. All right. Well, you know, we'll come back and we'll continue with this. I think I'll just perhaps just do a quick song. This is what I have here, so maybe you'd like to hear this, hey.
Just do the best you can. The flames will burn away the waste, all the lies that they told erased. A man without a face, a man without a face, a man without a face. A man without a face, 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 a man without a face.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Saxon's Creed radio show. We're talking about the light of the world and that ye are the light. Ye are as a candle. Now, by the way, I'm still doing the drives. If you would like to purchase a drive, a cruiser drive that has two seasons of Saxon's Creed or two seasons of this or that, or the works of Comparé that I have done, just let me know. You just need to get in touch with me at davidjamesboston@gmail.com. It's $100, and it will be mailed to you. So, let's get back to the subject matter. What's interesting to me about this, this is what the Father added last night. Let me just scan through some of this. Yes, okay, let me just say in Matthew 5:15, which continues from 14, of course, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. You see? Right, you wouldn't put a candle under a bushel, you'd burn the house down, or put the candle out. You put it on a candlestick and shine it for all to take advantage and to be able to see. Revelation 22:5, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for Yahweh giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. See, he giveth them light. Not only is his light a light, but the light that he gives us back that we lost in the garden as his offspring. We have eternal life and eternal light. Understand that stars live and die. Their light shines for a time, and I guess they shine the brightest near the end of their lives, which is seems to be what happens with us as well. So, this is something I know that you've heard many, many times, and I have as well. But this is what the Father gave me. And I'm going to tell you that I understand this to a point, but I think that now we link this up to what was taught in the first hour of the show, or 45 minutes, whatever. And I think you're going to, it's going to shine a new light on this parable. It's Matthew chapter 25, of course. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Their lamps, the candle, their light. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Why were they foolish? Okay, you could look at this as being prepared. Mr. Fuji said, "Be prepared." But you see, it's more than being prepared, like prepping, like have your sword ready and all that kind of stuff. No, this is a little different. See, without this oil, there will be no light. Without the scriptures or the anointing of the knowledge of the scriptures and wisdom, the light can't continue to shine. If you've hidden your light under, like he just said, you've put the light out. If you have not sought the truth and not instilled yourself with the light of the Father, which is the word of Yahweh, which is the scriptures, which is Jesus Christ, then you were foolish and you were not prepared to meet the Father. Your light was out. Your candle was out. See, it's really not about prepping, you know, well, I have enough water and I haven't. No, this has nothing to do with that, really. It's talking about prepping your spirit, prepping your, making sure your light is always lit. Are we connecting the dots here in the scriptures? Are we understanding now this tale of the 10 virgins or this story, parable? So after this midnight cry, verse 7, then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." Kind of weird, huh? Buy for yourself? Like you're going to buy the light of the Father? You're going to buy, you know, the oil of anointing? And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. You see, what it means, it doesn't mean that they're, you know, when they go to buy, in other words, well, begin to study the word now, or maybe you can turn your life over to the Father now. You've waited your whole life, like, which is very foolish, But now you can study now, but it's too late then. It's too late to go and get the oil, the anointing, the word of the Father, the truth that keeps the lamp lit, or to seek a relationship with him. You see, the wise ones had a relationship with him. They didn't forget him in the good times. They remembered him in the good and the bad times. And they were in his word, and his word was in them. Very interesting, very interesting. Think on that for a moment while I take a sip of my iced coffee. Get it? I mean, isn't that remarkable? And so their candles were always lit. They were shining their candle for all to see, shining a light in the darkness. While the foolish ones just didn't want to take the time. Maybe they went to a Judeo-Christian church and they let some devil guide them into hell. He put their lamps out. They said, well, we don't want to seek the truth. That's work. We'll just let somebody else tell us what the truth is, and we'll just say, well, it must be. If this guy's up there, he's qualified, and, you know, he couldn't be a cheap imitation of the real thing. So I'll just, you know, bank on and gamble on the fact that, well, he must be telling me the truth, and I won't look into it and make sure or anything. I'll just foolishly let this devil guide me into the pit of hell. So the door was shut. Afterward came also other virgins saying, Yahweh, Yahweh, open to us. See, they were virgins too. But he answered and said, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. You see my point here? This is everything that the Father is trying to do through me. The main thing for me, my purpose, the biggest purpose I have is to not bring you into an institution or a religion or, you know, I'm a man without a face. I don't want you to worship an image of a man. Not that I'm worthy of worship. I'm just saying that our people have this propensity. They need somebody to see on a video to worship. They need a man to worship. The churches tell them you need to be under the authority of a man. Don't they tell you that? But that's a lie. So my purpose is to tell you to have a personal relationship with the Father. Don't keep your eyes on me in the sense. Don't keep your eyes on an institution. Don't love that institution more than you love the Father. Keep your eyes on the Father. Keep your eyes on his word. Keep your lamp trimmed. Keep shining the light that you are to be into the world. Keep on striving to be an overcomer. Run the race and pass the test that the Father has set before you. You must be an overcomer. You must be. You see, these virgins that came after the Father shut the door, this is blowing my mind. I don't know about you, but what happened way back when it began to rain and the Father shut the door of the ark? It's just all these virgins, you know, let's just say the virgins are these people, these wicked people that he had warned and given them 120 years to repent. And they still didn't repent. They waited until the door was shut. And then they came and the Father said, I know you not. What does he mean, I know you not? In other words, he knows every one of their names. He knows every animal that was there. He knows everyone in the whole world. Is he a liar when he says, I know you not? Of course he's not a liar. What he means is, I've not experienced you. You haven't sought me. We haven't fellowshipped together. We had to have had no relationship. You have ignored me. You have ignored my counsel. You have ignored my warnings. You have ignored my mercies that I have given you to repent of 120 and 120 years. Sorry, your lamps were out. And it's too late for you now. Now, this is a stark warning to the people today and has been all through since the scriptures have been open for the eye to see. But these people are not going to trim their lamps, most of them. They're going to wait until the door is shut, like they waited until the door of the ark was shut. And then they're going to come running. But it's going to be, it turned out bad, man. It turned out bad. Those are the most fearful words. Verily I say unto you, truthfully, that means, verily means truthfully, I say unto you, I know you not. See, you see what I'm saying about how, you know, of course he knows every one of them. Is he a liar? No. I'm telling you what it means. He says, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. The Son of Man, he calls himself. He doesn't call himself the Son of God, understand, because he is one of the Adamic race. He is born of man, Adam. The Son of Man, he calls himself. He didn't call himself the Son of God necessarily, you understand? The Son of God would be Adam. And we are all sons of God that have been offsprings, the offspring of Adam, the continuing the race of Adam. And when you stop becoming a son of God is when you race mix. And when you do not shine the light. And you do not care about the things of the Father like Esau. When your candle is out, don't think you're just going to buy your way into heaven. There's no oil you can buy to accept snake oil from the devil, but that won't get you into the kingdom of heaven. You can bank on what I'm telling you. He said, for the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And Wow, this here it is. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that hath received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them 5 other talents. In other words, brought people back into a relationship with the Father. I am using my talents, or should I say the Father is using my talents, to bring you back to him. Not to bring you into any religion, not to reinstitute you back to the Catholic Church or anything like that, but to bring you back to a relationship with him, to keep your eyes on him. You see, this man is him. The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. And he has called us his servants, his own servants. You see, the key word there is his own servants. He didn't call servants from other races. He didn't call servants from Jupiter. He called his own, his offspring, his own servants, and delivered unto them his goods. What other goods? The gospel of Jesus Christ, the word of God, the word of Yahweh. These are his goods. Remember that wisdom is more precious than rubies? Well, wisdom is one of his goods. Knowledge is one of his goods. So he that received 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them 5 other talents. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his father's money. I'm not going to use that word. Oh, well, his Lord's money. In this story, that's okay to me. In other words, he hid his candle. He hid the light, the talent. He hid what he was gifted with, his gifts. Like a dog hides a bone in the land. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. In other words, it's judgment time. The door was closed now. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Yahweh, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of Yahweh. Now understand something. If you're not faithful in the little things, that's a telling thing about you. If you're not faithful in the little things, then obviously you're not going to be faithful in the big things. Therefore, you're of no value. Your candle is put out. Your light is put out. You are not a light in the world. You are one of these virgins who has not trimmed the lamp. And just like this fellow who hid the talent. Now, the fellow that hid the talent didn't lose anything. But, of course, he didn't gain anything and do anything for the kingdom. So if the father just wanted to keep the 1 talent, he just could have kept it himself. You understand? He didn't need some servant to take it and bury it in the land and then give it back to him. What good is that? He could have just kept it himself. Then he which had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, and that thou art an hard man. There it is again. I knew thee, and thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid. You see, I was ashamed of your name. I was ashamed of the word. I was ashamed of you. I was ashamed to tell anybody about the truth. I hid my light. It went out. I did not trim my lamp. I no longer had become the light of the world, and I hid my talent in the earth. Therefore, what he's saying is, I was afraid. Who's going to go into the second death? The fearful. That's one of them, right? The liars, which means practicing liars. And I was afraid. I was afraid to speak, and so I made a disclaimer exonerating me from telling, you know, defending the truth of the Father. I was afraid. After all, in the UK, they might come and get you if you tell the truth. So I was afraid, and I hid my talent, and I listened to the Jew, Dennis Fetcho, and he told me that we can just get our message across, you know, without it being in your face, without really saying who this message comes from. The Jew, Dennis Fetcho. He is a Jew. I was afraid. So verse 24, then he which had received, you see people, never mind. Then he which had received one talent came and said, Lord, I'm only using this because he's talking about a man in a story. I don't use this word, Lord. I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Here's your thing back. I didn't really want to be in the war, and I didn't want to risk my life for the kingdom, and I didn't want to tell the truth because I didn't want the world. I was afraid, and I didn't want the world to come and kill me. The disciples weren't afraid. They shone the light, and they paid the price. And the Father shone his light and paid the price. He wasn't afraid. The world is full of con men. 26 verse, that is. And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that shall be given, and he that have abundance, but from him that hath not, shall be taken away even that which he hath. Now listen, very interesting the wordage here. We are known as the have nations, and the beasts of the fields nations, including the Jew doesn't have a nation, but they're the most subtle beasts of the field, they're the have-nots. We're talking, this is how these communist, Marxist people speak. And so they're bringing the have-nots into our nation to steal from the haves. And it's sort of a thing on this verse principle. I'll just have you know that this is verse 29. Hello? 2 times 9 equals 18. Ah, Dave, did you have to say that? Oh, no. For everyone that have shall be given. Has the nations that are the have nations, have we been, are our candles lit in America and the Israelite nations at this point? No. The candles are out. They have forgotten the Father. And so, to everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And so the devil's principle here is just the opposite. To everyone that hath not shall be given and shall have abundance, but from him that hath shall be taken away even that which he hath. You see, this is the filthy world we're living in. This is the filthy world that the Father did not die for. Remember, there's two worlds. The world of the Adamic man and the world that was here before with the other races. Now dig this, verse 30. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. This is verse 33. I told you about being spiritually linked with the king of this world when you have the 33rd degree of Freemasonry. I told, this was in the last show, I revealed this, because the Father revealed it to me and I started laughing. I'd never noticed the number 33 before. I knew it was a big thing for them, and it's 11 times 3 and all these different things. But 3 times 3 is 9, and that's the devil's number. And this verse is saying, what is this verse saying? And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. The goats of the 33rd degree. The goats who are the offspring of 3 times 3 is 9, the devil. And all those who wish to be goats, who have lived the lives of goats and have placed them their own selves on the side of the goats, the left. You see, again, he shall put the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. I mean, everything is right in front of your face in democracy and everything else. You can certainly see this, can't you? I mean, it's very simple to see. Do you want to be a goat on the left? Do you want to be a liar, a follower, somebody who can't think for themselves, somebody that will take on foolish ideologies? Do you want to put your own lamp out? Do you want to be one of the virgins that has been foolish and... See, this is, I'm not speaking to Jews right now. Their lamp already was out. I'm speaking to those virgins out there, so to speak. And that has nothing to do with the word virgin, but that's what the parable talked about. Those virgins who came after the door was shut. The door is not shut as far as I know yet. Do you want to wait until it's shut and run towards the door, towards the true light? Or do you want to keep running towards the false light, the distorted light, the light bringer, Lucifer, Halel, Semiramis, Nimrod, whatever the name is, Diana, whatever it is, Vishnu, Kali, these are all the devil's names. Do you want to follow the false light, the light bringer, or do you want to follow the true light? This is a question that you must answer. One big warning I'm going to give you right now is don't wait till the door shuts. The Father's mercies are incredible. Let me tell you a mercy while I'm on this topic of mercy that I realized from the Father in nature. Did you know that trees cast off kindling, small pieces of branches, onto the ground? So that if you were living in the wilderness, you'd be able to gather up these kindlings and you could start a fire and warm yourself or cook your food or whatever it might be. Boil your water. You see, what if you had to climb a tree to break off all those little twigs yourself? No, the Father has it instilled within his mercies, within nature, that the trees give off the kindling so that you can pick them up and use them to start a fire. I hope you're smiling right now. You know, it's not something I've just realized until the other day. I keep cleaning up this. I have many big oak trees. And I keep cleaning up the kindling and throwing it into the fire pit. And then I look and there's more kindling and more kindling. It's like, it's just the gift that keeps giving. And it is a gift. Oh, you may look at it as negative, like, oh, I got to keep cleaning that kindling. No, but it's a gift. The Father's mercies are everywhere for you to see. Will you wait until the door, it's 11:11 right now. Will you wait? Oh, the numbers. Oh, I'm so afraid of those numbers. They're confusing me. Oh, you're the devil. Silly, silly people. Anyway, the Father's mercies are everywhere, and his mercies make me smile. Just imagine that the people in Noah's time were given 120 years to repent. How much more merciful could you be? And did they repent? No. They waited until the door was closed and the rain had started, and then they wanted to repent. Then they wanted to recognize the Father and his wisdom. Then they wanted to be saved, so to speak. They wanted to be delivered. But you see, they were unprofitable, and they were in outer darkness already. So they will be cast into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I certainly hope you've enjoyed this. I certainly have. And I never have understood this virgin's story like I do right now. We weren't able to finish this chapter. It goes to 46. But I think that the point has been made. The point has been made. And I do believe that from now on, you'll have a special understanding of what it means to be the light of the world and what it means to be one of the virgins who kept their light. See, it said that our light would be like the light of a candle. Well, that's the same thing as a lamp being trimmed with oil. See, he gave them the oil. Others hid the oil. They used it up and didn't continue learning and everything. But the others kept their lamps trimmed and had plenty of oil because they continually had a relationship with the Father. I suggest that you do that too. And I'll tell you this. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James. And until next time, study to show thyself approved.